Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network.
Noon hour, ready to roll till 1 o'clock on Action Sports Jax 24/7 on the network, actionnewsjax.com, Action News Jax app as well. Just click video. We are right there, so you can stream us anytime. And when you stream us, you can also watch us on Roku and Apple TV and Google TV and all the rest, so you can see us from your living room. If you want, you can see us from your computer at work. You can see us from your phone. And, of course, on all the social media platforms. Thanks for hanging out with us. And the chat's been wild today. I do want to get to some of the mentions in the chat. I think we've hit some of them. But, man, you guys have been popping today, even before the Houston news of getting Stephon Diggs, which is a big one. A lot of draft talk here on the day. How aggressive will the Jags get? How will they react to something like this? Do you even need to react? Do you just worry about yourself? Those are all questions that we're trying to answer for the Jacksonville Jaguars, but they ultimately will have to answer for themselves.
One question we got, Brent, by chance, can you kick a field goal? We might need you.
No, not the way the hamstrings are right now.
Over about 200 comments in the chat today.
Wow, how about that? I missed some earlier. Did I? If you get back through some of them and something, it goes by so quick on here that I'm like, man, I want to mention a few. So if you see anything, make sure we bring them up. And we like, hey, listen, sometimes the chat just chats amongst themselves.
That's true.
Which is okay. What is this one right here? We can't have everybody. It's all in the name of competition. Quit complaining. He's a headache anyway. Yeah. As soon as we lock his up, going to be slamming his helmet. I like I like that. We need a little more of that.
Hopefully we play the Texans later on in the season. Where, you know, it starts going sour as opposed to, like, week one.
Jags need to react. Texans are staring at 13-4. Jags are staring at 10-7 at best, says Duval Jags. I just don't know how you – listen, good luck predicting that. I'll be impressed with the Texans when they handle their first-place schedule. Who are the – let's take a real quick look at the Houston opponents. Opponents in 2024. And, all right, here's who they have to play. The Ravens, the Bills, the Dolphins, the Bears, the Lions, the Colts, the Jags, the Titans, the Cowboys, the Packers, the Vikings, the Chiefs, the Jets, the Patriots, Colts, the Jaguars, the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't an easy schedule.
No.
You know?
Is it the Bills? Is there window closing?
That's a really good question. Like, I feel like you can say it's closed.
Yeah.
Now it's like, can you reboot it? So, like, teams have – there's different ways to look at it, right? I mean, you make that little run, you can't get over the mountaintop. Okay, we got to reset this thing because the money of Diggs or having to let Mitch Morse go or Gabe Davis go and all the – I mean, the bottom line is they were strapped for cash with the cap, and they had to reset their roster a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you get it back going? Well, you do what the Rams did. You get rid of some of that, and then you go draft really well, and you get a Puka Nacua, and you get lucky, right? And you find some gold mines, or just gold, and instead of mines, and then you can reset it back again and make the playoffs, and maybe now go reboot it for another run. I don't know, by the way, if the Rams are going to do that. They lose Aaron Donald. How are you replacing that? Well, you're not. So I guess the question is, when you do have the quarterback, and it looks like they've had the coach. Now, there's been some questions about that regime, too, in the front office. But if you have that quarterback, he can definitely help you transition quicker if you make a bunch of the right moves after that.
Sure.
I would say absolutely, though, the Bills' window at this rendition of the Bills is over.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about it in the AFC, the Jets' window is now.
Correct.
The Bills window over. Patriots window is not open.
Not open for business.
No, it isn't.
No, I'm with you.
I think the Dolphins might have missed their small window the way they stack things up.
I still think it's there.
You think it is?
Yeah.
Do you see them as a Super Bowl contender?
I see them like...
being like one good team in 2 years.
Sure. Yeah, I know. But I see the Dolphins as like, they're not a tier one like Super Bowl contender, but they're just... like on the verge of making a playoff run.
Okay, let's go. The Ravens window's open, right?
Yes, open for business.
The Bengals?
Yeah, I still think, I mean, with health concerns, but yeah, I think they're still open.
Pittsburgh?
No, I mean,
Pittsburgh's,
they're
it feels very much like the Miami category to me, where it's like, okay, yeah, they can make the playoffs, but I don't see them as a deep threat.
Yeah, I mean, they'll make the playoffs. I mean,
that's what they do.
They'll have a winning record. Yeah, that's what they do. They have one of the best coaches in the game, I think.
What about the Browns, who just made the playoffs?
I mean, it's hard to say they're not in contention because they just went to the playoffs with Joe Flacco, who came off the couch.
I think Houston's window's open.
Obviously.
Tennessee, I can't go there yet.
No.
Indianapolis, I'm not sure I can get there either because I just don't know enough about Anthony Richardson.
Got to see more.
The Jags?
Super Bowl window? Come on, Brent, be realistic.
Doesn't feel that way. No. They feel more in the Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And Miami? Not even Miami?
I think Miami's got the Jaguars beat right now.
Really?
I do.
That's interesting. Hamby, can you decide us on Miami?
How do you feel about Miami? Jags are even with Miami.
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm in love with Miami. I get why you can be. I'm not discounting it. I'm just saying I'm not there on that regard. But that's okay.
I mean, they went to the playoffs last year. So.
I think most people, if they had to choose right now, would choose the Dolphins to win their division. Still over the Jets by a hair. If I had,
oh really?
I think.
Well, if you're gonna go there, then I would say they're open.
But I don't. But playoffs is different, and I think people do see that the Dolphins struggle against good teams. I don't think that's just not us thinking that. Everybody sees that.
Well, I think the record says that.
Right. Well, yes. So when you talk about deep playoff runs, I think the Jags and the Dolphins are pretty much right there and on the same tier.
But do you think if the Jags went to the AFC East, they would win it?
I think they'd be right in there, one game apart,
okay,
plus or minus.
Well, first of all, I don't agree with you on the Miami. I think the Jets are the favorite to win that division.
Yeah, if Aaron Rodgers is healthy.
I mean, given health, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think Miami and Buffalo to me are kind of, we'll see. I mean, Buffalo is so much better at the quarterback position, I think. So where does that leave Miami? Again, Miami lost a bunch of stuff now.
They did.
So they're dangerous on offense. I get it. I think the Jags are very much like Pittsburgh here, right? Like they're a team that could get in the playoffs, but right now, until we see more, where they got to prove it again that they can make a run. Heck, they haven't proved it since 2017 that they can really make a run. Houston has to feel that way. I think it's a little early, but at the same time, I don't know how you can't look at it that way. What they did last year, winning a playoff game, and now adding to their roster. See, they're a little bit different than the Jags in that regard. In fact, they're a lot of bit different. They're not standing pat and running it back. The Jags won the division, won a playoff game, and then ran it back. And it backfired, at least with results. Mm-hmm. Houston is saying, hey, we ain't staying put here. We're going to add more. And so you got to give them a lot of credit for that. Chiefs window's always open. The Chargers, who knows? The Raiders, definitely not. And the Broncos, definitely not. So if you look at the AFC, I think what we got to is the Jets is open, the Ravens open, the Bengals open, Houston open, the Chiefs open. There's like five teams that are clearly open. I know what's that?
I think the Browns.
I think the Browns and the Dolphins kind of are in, and maybe even a Steelers team are like, okay, you can make a case, I can make a case, we'll see. So what's pretty wild about that conversation is I think the AFC is dangerous. I think there's a bunch of teams that are good, but I also think there's like a handful that can be, at least right now, crowned in the elite category that feel like every time they go out on the field, it's tough to pick against them.
Correct.
And there is some separation there. Last year, I remember, I think I had an 11 out of 16 teams I thought could win the Super Bowl, and then there are a couple of teams that are like iffy on. And then there are three teams like no chance.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now as it sits, I'm thinking, yeah, there's probably about five teams I'd put decent money on to win a Super Bowl. I'd put probably another like seven teams in the mix to be in the playoff mix, or you never know if things fall right. And then, I mean, how many teams are like, no? The Raiders, the Patriots.
The Broncos.
The Broncos and the Titans.
I think the Chargers right now as a roster sits are a hard no.
That's a fair one too.
Yep.
So there'd be like five. So that's actually more than last year, at least going into the year in that respect.
But there's always that one team that could surprise you. just like Houston did. Houston won three games.
Well,
like,
no, Houston was in that conversation. Nobody, you're right.
Nobody last year, once again, besides right. Casey Kearns, but nobody last year was saying, oh, I like Houston's chances.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. That's just the beauty of it. That's why, like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, my gosh, look what Houston's doing. They're automatic. There's just nothing automatic about it. What's going to be pretty wild about the Buffalo situation is how many stories are going to come out about Diggs and Buffalo's situation, do you think, over the next couple weeks, couple months now? Will we get a little more clarity of what the heck going on? Because keep in mind, this wasn't just a this year thing. Like, I know you bring up running the ball, and I know it exasperated again this year. Yeah. But this has gone back for 2 or 3 years. Like, there's been multiple times that Josh Allen's had to come out and be like, we're all good. We're good. We're good. That is not just a this past season. Yeah. And so you do wonder how much is there. And now based off the dollars of this deal, what they gave up, this really felt like they're just see ya. Get out of here. We don't care who you go to. Mm-hmm. That's an unusual thing.
Yeah.
And that tells me that stories are coming.
I would say so.
Stories are definitely
But also
coming.
I think some, I mean, once again, I think Buffalo's got a plan in place. They almost have to, regardless of how bad it was with Stephon Diggs, regardless of what we haven't seen behind the scenes. You can't justify letting go of your number one receiver for, what was it again, a second-round pick?
Yeah, it's essentially a second-round pick.
For a second-round pick without something. And when I say without something, I mean more than just a hope of a draft pick, like that you get in the, you know, with a wide receiver.
So, Coach Ripley here in the chat, he's back trying to produce the show. Since Texans and Jags could easily be the number 2 seed in the AFC, Jets on paper are good. Can they stop Miami? KC's deal until someone beats them. I think a lot of people would agree with that. The Ravens are the other team. He also said about 25 minutes ago, Jags fans, it's real simple. The Jags have to push their cards, their money, and their draft picks to the middle of the table. Draft trade for a number 1. Jefferson, Ayuk, Higgins, Harrison, Neighbors, Odunze. Find a way to add DB and defensive end. So I asked this question. Do the Jags need to push their chips in for their locker room and fan base? Or do they need to do it because that's the best strategy to win?
To me, it's the best strategy to win. Yeah, I mean, like, listen, I don't think the team really makes decisions based off of fan reactions.
And that's why I included locker room.
Okay.
If you're the Jags locker room and you're seeing this comes back to Trevor, by the way. Trevor, most importantly, representing the Jags locker room.
I'm done talking about him, Brent. apparently, I can't talk about Trevor Lawrence anymore now. I thought it was important. I guess not.
but does it show something? You can take us there like nobody can. There are some players that just wouldn't even pay attention to deals like this. They're like, yeah, we're fine, whatever, we worry about ourselves. Like, I got a feeling like all those offensive linemen aren't sitting there freaking out over Twitter. that Diggs just went to Houston. But a guy like, I think, Kirk, who kind of is in tune with everything and maybe pays attention to it more often, he's like, well, hey, look what they're doing. Where are we compared to them, right? Like, why wouldn't you ask that question?
The Houston locker room now, they're excited, right? Put the antics, the on-the-field things, some of the problems that comes with Stephon Diggs, C.J. Stroud, excited. Nico Collins, excited. Like, that entire organization right now, they're excited because they know that they're getting another weapon for C.J. Stroud. Right, and they're going to be a better team, at least on paper. Now, once again, it all has to come into fruition. Who knows what's going to happen? Hindsight's 20/20. But I'm just saying today that locker room's excited. And, yeah, obviously, like, are Jaguars players on Twitter right now reading all the reaction? Probably not. Maybe some are. Some are on vacation. Some are doing their own thing. But they are taking note. You know, you are taking inventory. Like, you're always taking inventory of when a team brings a big player. Like, when Eric Armstead got – you know, let go by the 49ers and he comes to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, yeah, I think other teams in the division and then in those locker rooms are taking note. So to answer your question, like, do you owe it for the city? Like, listen, never make a decision based off of fan reactions. And I know we have fun with it, right? I mean, we saw the clown movement a couple years ago and we wanted that. Obviously, Shad Khan stuck to his guns, kept Trent Baalke. You're not going to make a decision based off of what the fan base, what Jaguars Twitter says. But you can kind of set a precedent to your team saying, hey, we're in this to win this as well. And once again, if you do bring in a big receiver, like if you do get a T. Higgins or a Brandon Ayuk or by the grace of God get Justin Jefferson, yeah, you are setting a precedent to your locker room saying, hey, we're in this to win this still. Like, don't get it twisted.
Yeah, I think the reason I ask the question is because right now everybody would feel better if they did all these moves and just be like, oh, yeah, look, we just countered. But is it always the best sound football decision? I think those can be two different things. I think you can get emotional. I will say I'll always go back to the 2020 draft. I think it was a mistake by the Jags to chase the Jan and Ramsey stuff. Was that a good football decision? No, it wasn't. They got two players that were overdrafted highly and were big-time busts because of the way they reacted. They didn't even know it. I think they tried to talk themselves into the fact that these guys were two good players, but the subconscious, the reality was, if they really asked themselves years later, they were trying to replace the two guys that they were pissed off and left. Whether that's from a football standpoint or an emotional standpoint, somewhere in the mix, it got muddied. And so I think you can get lost in the sauce a little bit, sometimes even from an evaluation standpoint. And I think sometimes the unpopular opinion is the correct choice in sports, in building. And right now, the popular choice would be to trade everything you have and go get a top flight wide receiver to counter the Houston Texans. Is that the most sound decision football-wise? And it might be. But I think it's worthy of the question. Like, you got to be careful this time of year to get too emotional in every move that everybody's being made. What's going to make you the best football team going forward? And do the Jags make that move? Do they make the move that allows that? Maybe it's not Jefferson. Maybe it's Ayuk. Maybe it's not a current player. Maybe it's moving up in the draft. Maybe it is sitting pat at 17 because Brian Thomas is going to be the steal of the draft. I don't know.
I think, you know, you can go many ways in the NFL in terms of how you construct a roster and how you go about things. I'm in it for more for the win now mode because I feel like the win now mode, obviously it gives you the best chance to win at that time. But if you do have a culture and if you do have great coaching and great players in place, even having that win now mode mentality and maybe you have to eventually reload, you can still have success. No one was more of the win now mode than the Los Angeles Rams. Right?
Yeah.
How many first-round draft picks did they give up? How many? I mean, it was crazy. And guess what? They won a Super Bowl because of it. And then what was the conversation? All right, well, they finally won the Super Bowl. Now let's see what happens, right? Now they're going to fall into mediocrity because there's no way they can sustain their success. And you know what? That first year they went 5-12 after that Super Bowl win, yep. Everyone was calling for McVay's job. Everyone was saying, oh, here we go. We've seen this show before. You invested all up front, and now you're going to fall down. What happened last year? 10-7. Went to the playoffs. When nobody, including myself, gave them a snowflake's chance in hell of doing anything with that roster. Oh, and by the way, Cooper Kupp got hurt? Yeah, you're not doing anything. No, you went 10-7. So my point is that, yeah, you sometimes it's cool to play for the win now mode, but if you have a great coach, if you have a great culture in place, you can still sustain success after that.
Yeah, it brings up a lot of questions. What a wild day in the NFL. What a wild day in the AFC South. And this stuff really impacts the Jags. 3 weeks away from the NFL draft, how will it all play out? What will the Jags do inside that building to actually counter or really just simply, more importantly, make their team better and a contender? I mean, this is a time, like, you can't just sit here and be okay. You've got to be good. You got to be really good. And even on paper, you're going to have to prove that you're good. But the Jaguars need to make a couple more moves to improve their football team, and that's what the draft, or maybe a trade or two, could still be in play. Let's take a time out here on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network. You can find us at actionnewsjax.com, Action News Jax app as well. Just click video. 1 o'clock today, we have Cup Date with Stuart Weber for you NASCAR fans. 1:30, Olivia Tassley takes us through the week with Action Sports Jax. And then at 2 o'clock, a live edition of No Gate Fees. And our question of the day in youth sports is, what about those guest players? You like them? Is it ridiculous? Is there a place for them? Flying in a kid from California to play the weekend tournament? That will get you going, hopefully, on the youth sports front, plus some high school baseball, softball, power poles, committed to the uncommitted. That show is at 2 o'clock on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network.
Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network.
High score is still up 105,290. No one's come close to touching it. I haven't even played the game in about 2 weeks. Taking a little bit of a break, recalculating some things, recalibrating some things, and hopefully going to come in with a new strategy to try to take down Brent Martineau and his high score.
By the way, I went to the eye doctor yesterday. That should only help me in my quest to beat my own high score.
There we go.
I think so.
What did the good doctor have to say?
Overall, nothing new, really. So everything shake out pretty good. I'm just getting older and my eyes are getting worse. They said that I should wear my glasses. Like, they didn't say should, but you could wear your glasses more. Because right now I only wear them if I need to. I'm reading now.
If you need
now.
To see the
chat. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like, so especially later at night. Like, get a little more tired later at night. And at home I'll wear them a lot, working on the computer even any time of day. But basically said when my glasses are on versus not, I'm like 6 lines different on the chart.
Oh, my gosh.
Dang.
That's pretty significant.
That's drastic. Yeah. It's a big deal.
So there's another thing. So I had the whole test, like, so you get your eyes dilated and stuff. Well, we had senior night last night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by the time we go, I'm like still like.
Oh, did you have the glasses?
Well, no, I don't have like.
No. Like after you get your pupils dilated, they give you like the foldable glasses.
Nah, they didn't do that there.
Oh,
least.
You got
robbed. Where are you going? Yeah, because you can't get light because it makes it worse. You have to wear like the blackout shades.
I mean, maybe I don't even know what happens. Like, I put these drops in. I don't know if that's a full, if that's a different thing. Like, I really don't know. It's like my second time I've ever really gone to the eye doctors. And so Steph asked me these same questions. She's like, well, did they dilate your pupils? I'm like, I don't know. Like, there were some like drops put in, and I had to like, I had yellow stuff coming out of my eyes because of it.
Okay, that's. Not okay.
Well, that's the yellow dye, like that you pat, like it's,
okay.
And,
okay.
But I will say this: bottom line is, when you leave there, I'm a little surprised they let you drive home.
That's the whole point.
Oh,
of
yeah,
the glasses.
Yeah. So we have to wear the glasses. You didn't wear the glasses.
No.
Were you in some guy's garage doing this eye exam? Where'd you go?
It's like a major outfit.
You have to wear glasses.
Well, I wore sunglasses.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, you're good.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you were saying like you didn't wear any kind of thing at all to help your eyes out.
No, I had to wear the sunglasses.
Okay. Welcome back.
But everybody. But this was at like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. By the time we get to senior night at like 6 o'clock, I still like am in not great seeing. I didn't know it would linger that long. Or I didn't remember that from the last time. I go like once a year. So I had to go with the shades.
Yeah.
On for senior night too.
Sun never sets on a badass.
It wasn't because I was crying. No tears shed.
Did you get on the field?
Yeah, we're on the field and everything.
Did you get flowers? How does that work for you guys?
Steph got flowers. Yeah. The parents do a nice job. What happens at our, I don't know if this happens all over the place, but the junior moms and dads or parents kind of set it up for the seniors. So like last year, our parents did it, moms,
okay,
you know, for the seniors. And they do a great job with it. So nice. Yeah, it was good. But senior night, you know, is done. Like Kaylee had her senior night on March 7th. It was almost like opening day. Now, Ty has it yesterday, which is April 2nd, but they're going to play. They're going to be playing into like late April, early May. So it's not at the end. And
yeah, usually it's at the end.
Well, what happened was, I think this changed a lot. There's a couple of reasons. The pandemic really changed it. Sure. Because when the kids lost their season, those seniors never got to celebrate. In fact, one of the things that we did on TV during the pandemic is we had people send in their senior pictures mm-hmm. from sports so we could recognize them. Because they never, and I did think it was one of the cool things we were able to do during that time because the kids never got a senior night.
Right.
Now, I think we can debate how important senior night is or not.
I mean, as a PO, I got an AB. Are you kidding me? That's what senior night is for.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, I saw you.
Showcase.
Did y'all play BK last night?
We bring
it's
in
a
the
showcase.
We bring in the 15th ranked team in the state for senior night.
Yeah, no. Like no, that. You. And I'm not going to say that. Who we played because I don't know how good they are now and I don't want to. But you got to bring in the difficult or, you know, the struggling bunch, okay? And then all the POs are getting ABs. And I'll say I freaking stung a ball short. Put on a clinic. And kind of showed everybody up, easy game, and all the hitters they might get an inning or two.
I think there was a plan of potentially, if things like really, really worked out.
I mean, if you host BK.
To get Ty an inning of pitching, maybe.
What was the score? Did y'all win?
We ended up winning, actually. It was a great win for us. Really good win, 8-3.
Nice.
BK's good, but it was 3-3 game in the sixth, and then we pulled away with five runs. But it's really
not getting any.
Carson, we'll talk about it on no gate fees. He went 4-for-4 on senior night, which is really kind of cool. Hit a home run. But yeah, so it all worked out really well. But the bottom line is, that's the other thing. In baseball around here, you play a pretty good schedule. Mm-hmm. So you don't have many of those options, Hamby, that you're talking about, because the schedule now matters in max preps and everything. You're not putting a lot of cupcakey stuff on there. And especially later in the year, you're building your schedule to get almost tougher and tougher as you go. And so it turns out we seriously had the 15th ranked team in the state in on senior night.
Yeah.
It's like, what are we doing here? This might not turn out so well.
Yeah.
But it actually did, and it was a really good win. But so the senior nights are I guess kind of cool, but they are done earlier is really what I'm answering here because of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing about the eye doctors,
backing up here, Austin.
Yeah, there you go, man.
Is that it?
Stylish. Yeah. Unfortunately, I got those a couple times. Got to get an eye exam for every single fight. Those things do not fit me whatsoever. So I had to bring my own shades as well. I look ridiculous in those.
You know, it's like I have not had those. Now maybe they would have offered them to me, but they didn't ask me if I had sunglasses either.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but it is hard to see. I will say, you go out that door, you're like, whoa, it is. It's just a new experience for me because I seriously only have done this twice.
Yeah.
Whatever our next competition is, loser's gonna have to wear these for the whole show.
I like that. I like that. The other thing about it, and this was great, but they put you in like what we call the bullpen while they're waiting to call you back after they do the initial test, like any doctor's office or whatever, right? I mean, I'm just hanging out with a bunch of retired people.
Oh, yeah.
we had a whole sports show yesterday for about a half hour.
Should have recorded
it. We're talking everything. We could have put it on the network.
Senior Day, part two.
That's right. It was Senior Day before Senior Day, which was kind of fantastic. What you got?
So I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole during the break.
Oh, really?
And
I went coffee.
I kind of vowed that I never would give this guy a lot of attention again because it's so ridiculous of how his career ended. But Antonio Brown.
How did I know?
I was going here? Yeah. Well, because it's interesting stuff here. So in March, Antonio Brown with the CTE SPN network that he runs or whatever, he put out a couple players who, you know, were going to go to different teams. And this was in March. So this was 3 weeks ago now.
Is this findable on Twitter?
It's findable on Twitter. Yep.
Like, is this like 100 tweets ago?
I mean, it's not 100 tweets ago. It's pretty, you know, whatever. He had Stephon Diggs going to the Texans.
That's wild.
He had, and now, because...
most trusted source in all.
Well, and I know... Beckham now has met with his team a couple of days ago. He had Odell Beckham Jr. going to the Dolphins. Guess where he has Justin Jefferson going? Because there's three wide receivers here that he has going places.
Hopefully,
I'm sorry. There's four. There's Brandon Ayuk going someplace new. There's Justin Jefferson going someplace new. Then he had Stephon Diggs, and he has Odell Beckham Jr. He has Brandon Ayuk possibly going to the Steelers. And if it's not going to be the Steelers, the Steelers only team that he reported on here. Justin Jefferson, the Steelers, or the Patriots? Take that for how you want. I can't believe I'm breaking down Antonio Brown rumors and leaks. But the guy had it back early in like mid-March that Stephon Diggs is going to the Texans. So take it for how you want.
What was the context of it? He just put it out there in a jersey?
He just literally put a picture of Stephon Diggs in a Texans jersey. And it's the emoji soon, and then it's a popcorn. This is March 17th.
Hey, just wonder if he heard something, or if it was just a pure guess, or what.
But then once again, I just said Odell Beckham Jr. is talking to the Dolphins as well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, these guys all might talk still.
Okay, interesting.
I don't know. You know, I mean, how much say do you think a guy like Diggs has in this, too? It's like, hey, I'd like to go to Houston or wherever. Like, I don't think they give him that kind of respect like they did Keenan Allen.
No, right? No. I mean, once again.
We'll send you to Siberia.
I'm pretty sure they left on bad terms.
They used to send people to Buffalo, actually, if you didn't like. That was the whole Ramsey thing. It was like, send them to Buffalo.
Yeah.
In hindsight, if they did, they would have won a Super Bowl, probably.
Yeah, yeah. No, for sure. I don't know, man. I mean, maybe it's just a coincidence, but the fact that he called Diggs going to Houston and then, once again, Odell Beckham Jr. a few days ago met with the Miami Dolphins. I don't know. Maybe you know something that we don't.
This person on social media just said, Jags were 15th in scoring last year with a horrible Press Taylor. Are returning an injured Kirk coming off surgery. Gabe Davis, 700 yards, replaces Ridley's 1,000. Sheriff and Morris, another year older. How does Bulky keep getting away with destroying the franchise?
Jags fans aren't pessimistic.
I don't know if this guy's a Jags fan or a gal or whatever, but... yeah, I don't know if that's the way to look at it. I mean, guess what? Everybody gets another year older. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, so if you're doing that, then why wouldn't you say the same about Stephon Diggs getting older? He's like going to be 31,
mm-hmm.
right? So if we're going to talk about age, so that crosses it out. I think the Press Taylor thing, if you think he's horrible, is an easy fix. Hello, Doug Peterson. And Jags were actually 15th in scoring last year. Felt worse.
Yeah.
Felt a lot worse.
Didn't Where it? Are we in 2022 then?
At 24.9 a game, I want to say you were like eighth.
All right, I haven't really thought this through, but it just came to mind. Okay. So 2022, the Jags' eighth offense or around there. Okay. We go and add a big wide receiver. I'm not going to say a wide receiver one, but we added a bigger receiver in Calvin Ridley. Now, Calvin Ridley and Stephon Diggs, they're not comparable at all because of anything really.
No,
but you added a big
receiver. Comparable route runners,
but they were both big receivers. They were both big gets. Okay. And then the Jags offense takes a step back. Okay. Obviously Trevor's hurt. Kirk's hurt. Zay Jones misses time, but it was almost this. It's another mouth to feed in a tough offense that already was good. Maybe the optimist in me is almost hoping that Diggs going to Houston is another mouth to feed in what was already a good offense. Are there going to be weird dynamics with how do they spread the ball to all these guys? We almost saw that in the first couple weeks. And that's why everybody was saying before week one of the 2023 season, everybody was saying, hey, pump the brakes on Ridley a little bit because it's going to take time to see how he fits in this offense. And that's exactly what happened. And he only really took off stats-wise once Kirk was out. So hopefully... possibly, could that translate in Houston where Diggs doesn't necessarily fit all that well with Dell, with Nico Collins, with Noah Brown, with Dalton Schultz?
I think it's an interesting point to bring up. Again, I think not everything, there's a lot of good about this. There's a lot of reason to get excited about this, so I don't want to dismiss that. But I do think there are also some, you know, potential red flags. Like if you look at where it could go wrong, you look around the whole story, there are places that this could go wrong. And I think your point's a good one. You can have sometimes too many mouths to feed. Now, is that why things went? I don't think the Jags had trouble feeding people. I think the problem was Zay Jones got hurt, right? And then later in the year, Christian Kirk got hurt. And then there were just some times where they were off. They weren't on the same page, more because of the new offense. So I think that lends to it. Now, what you add in here is a guy that has, over his career, he gets a little pissed off if you're not throwing him the football. So... yeah, could you have that dynamic? Could it brew a little bit? Maybe. But I think the biggest thing is until somebody stops this Slovic offense and throwing the deep ball and the ability for Stroud to do it and these guys to get there, I think somebody's going to have to showcase that they've got an answer for that. Because I'm still stunned that last year nobody could find an answer for that the entire season. Whatever the answer is, cover two, is it what? Whatever it is. Why can't people find the answer? And until that happens, I think they're going to be deadly anyway. Because you're not just talking about feeding receivers like the Jags are trying to do it. Jags are trying to feed guys in a 20-yard box. These guys are trying to chuck it. They're playing backyard football.
Yeah.
And all of these guys can go deep now and score.
So I don't know Stephon Diggs personally. I've had him in fantasy the past 2 years, so I've watched him closely. I mean, means something.
It does.
The problem with Stephon Diggs isn't going to be the targets. If they start losing, then he'll get upset because then he thinks that he can win the game if he gets the targets more. I go back to the Denver Broncos beating the Bills in Buffalo, and everybody wrote the Buffalo Bills out after that. And that's when it all went south. When the Broncos, the hapless Broncos and Russell Wilson go to Buffalo, and at the time felt like a must-win game, they lose. And then that, to me, is where it all snowballed into Stephon Diggs being upset. Now, they go on a roll at the end, and they make the playoffs, and everything was fine. Stephon Diggs becomes Stephon Diggs when he doesn't win ball games. Now, I'm not going to wish injury to anybody. Knock on wood for CJ Stroud. Wanted him to play at his best possible, ceiling. But if something happens to CJ Stroud, something happens to that team, and they start losing, then yeah, it could be a house of cards, and it could all fall apart. But I don't think the lack of targets in terms of sharing them with Tank, sharing them with Nico, and keep in mind, Mixon's a pretty good receiving back out of the backfield as well. I don't think that's going to bother Stephon Diggs. If they don't win, that's when it's going to all collapse.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair point. And it could. And that could be the case for any team. I don't know if that's just a Diggs dynamic. It could be a lot of different teams. Heck, we saw it here a little bit. I mean, the dynamic over the last 6 weeks certainly changed to some degree. But I also think it's a fair point to bring up, Hamby. I don't think that's a bad point about, hey, do you have too many? You can ask that question. Like, there is one football. And we did this last year a lot. We were asking those questions. We're like, okay, who's getting the ball? You just had three guys coming off career years, and you're adding Calvin Ridley. And here's the other thing. The Jaguars and Calvin Ridley got fortunate because Ridley, if Kirk and Zay Jones don't get hurt, Ridley doesn't have a 1,000-yard season and 8 touchdowns. He wasn't on pace for that. Kirk was on pace for that. And then Kirk was going to be their number one wide receiver this year.
But you don't think if Zay Jones would have been healthy, that would have helped out Ridley a lot more?
It might have because I will make the case that Evan Ingram's not catching 110 balls or 100 and whatever balls, right? So I just don't know. I mean, the way the season was going, Evan Ingram was tracking toward a major season. You're right about Zay, but Kirk was tracking toward an even better season than Ridley, and Ridley probably doesn't get to 1,000. He probably is more at like 880 or something like that, but a lot more targets go his way later in the year because of it. So for whatever that's worth, I mean, I don't even know if it really matters. Just a real quick history lesson on the Jags offense in the last 5-6 years. 31st in the league in 2018, 26th in 19, 30th in 20, 32nd in 21. Doug comes in and they're 10th. They go from 32nd to 10th. They increased almost a touchdown that year, more than a touchdown actually, at almost 24 points a game. And this year, they actually score a point and a half less a game and go down to 13th. So they're 10th and 13th in the NFL in scoring the last 2 years under Doug. And I think you do ask the question. There's going to be a lot of teams that you could factor into being top 10 in the league in scoring. Mm-hmm. The Jags got to find their way in the top 10 in scoring, right? I mean, the identity of this football team was supposed to be on offense, is supposed to be on offense. They have got to be able to score it better than 22 other teams in the National Football League, in my opinion. That's correct. Fair enough. Yes. So whatever you have to do to make that happen, what did they do? Well, they fortified the offensive line a little bit. They bring in Gabe Davis. That's about it right now. So they probably need to go get another weapon to be able to do that, especially losing Calvin Ridley. So I think, again, this does go back to some simplicity when you boil right down to it. Let's take one more time out here on Brent and Austin Show. Here on a Wednesday, a lot going on in the football world. Did you see the numbers from the women's college basketball? If you didn't, we'll showcase that at the end of the show. And we'll catch you up on anything you might have missed, including the big news. Houston Texans get Stephon Diggs. How does that change the AFC South? And by the time we do a show tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., we will be 3 weeks away from the draft. Watch this catch, Austin.
Bam!
How about that? Mandarin's Olivia Anderson. Little web gem. That's a heck of a catch. He also threw out a runner later in the game. That would be a double play. And by the way, that run does count. We'll talk about that more on No Gate Fees. I'll explain the rules of baseball or softball to you, Hamby, a little bit later on at 2 o'clock on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network.
Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network.
So there are a lot of folks that I think when we mentioned just how big the women's basketball event Monday night was going to be, I don't think they believed it. And I think people morph this conversation into men's basketball isn't as good as women's basketball. And like, that wasn't the conversation. The conversation was the storylines are better. The storylines are intriguing. And the viewers are going to turn out. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many people I've had say, I watched Caitlin Clark play the other night. I'm actually surprised. But I'm stunned by how much it has resonated with people that I just know don't watch sports, watch basketball, and definitely don't watch women's basketball and would have any idea what's going on. I think the LSU stuff magnified it too, so I think they play a huge role here. But what was it, Hamby? End up being like 12.5 million or something?
12.3.
I mean, just crazy record breaking, right? Like blown away. The biggest game of all time. I think I saw the biggest college basketball game ever viewed on ESPN. So when you asked yesterday, are we going to see it again? I would say no.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Yeah. I mean, you're going to need another Caitlin Clark, and then you're going to need another team like LSU that's just so polarizing how they go about their business. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think we see it anytime soon, at least.
By the way, Angel Reese declared for a WNBA draft day, so she's not coming back. She could, but she's not coming back. So here it is.
Check that top percentage.
All right, so Elite Eight averaged 6.2 million viewers, most watched Elite Eight on record. This is for the women?
Yes, up 184% year over year.
And by the way, Caitlin Clark was playing last year in some of these, too. Also got the network love with the ABC stuff, so like that helped. But again, you're very comparable to the men.
Yeah.
And I would also say this about the men's. What did I see? I think I saw something recently, like the men's college basketball Elite Eight did better than any like NBA Finals game of the last handful of years or something like that. Which goes back to our conversation I think we had at the start of the tournament. It's such an interesting event because you could play a game on Saturday afternoon and you could take the two best teams in the country and you might draw like 2.5 million viewers around the country. But in this tournament, in March, it blows it up like 5, 6, 7, 10-fold.
Yeah.
Which, doesn't that surprise you? Like that much?
I mean, not really, Brent, just because like it's all or nothing. It's win or go home. You know, like it's like a game seven NBA play in an NFL NBA finals. It's just like it means that much more.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Like I don't even know if the I wonder if even the Clark and everything else is now impacting even the men's basketball a little bit. Like it's got you thinking basketball more.
I mean, it's definitely the conversation. Like, it's brought up a lot. I mean, it's a very well possibility. Like, I'm very curious to see what Iowa and UConn is going to look like because, you know, I'm a sucker for storylines. And Paige Buckets was supposed to be the Caitlin Clark before she got hurt a couple years ago. And now Caitlin Clark's taking on UConn. So, like, Caitlin and Paige, that's must-see TV.
Yeah, I think we're going to continue the trend. Now, do we get that high? I think this was a little bit of a different animal.
I think we see 10 million. You want to think we'll have 10 million? I say we, like, I'm have anything to do with this at all.
I'm going to take under 10 million.
Okay. I'll say over. But it's WrestleMania, though. Isn't it? When do they play? Do we know what time they play at?
I don't know. It's Friday, Sunday.
It's Friday.
So Friday won't
what we? Okay. Yeah, well, we get done.
It's got to be Friday at 7 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take over 10 million. Let's go. You don't think so? You don't think Paige Buckets brings that kind? I mean, UConn had 6.7 million against USC. I can't name one USC player.
You might be right. I'll go under just for the heck of it. Okay. But you might be right. It's going to be close. All right, that will do it. We got 1 o'clock cup date coming up with Stuart Weber. Week with Action Sports Shacks with Olivia Tassley at 1:30 and 2 o'clock, no gate fees. The big news today, Stephon Diggs traded to Houston. Your move, Jaguars. We move. Where are we moving? I don't mean like geographically either. We'll do it again tomorrow at 10 a.m. Have a good Wednesday, everybody.